proud sponsor of Insight on Business, the News Hour, is AARP Iowa. With over 370,000 members, AARP is helping families with a host of programs, from Fraud Watch to helping build more livable communities. Learn more at aarp.org.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful to have you along for the ride. You know, several weeks ago, we talked with Brian Dieter and Gary Botine from the Mary Greeley Medical Center in Ames, Iowa, about MAP. That would be the Medicare Accelerated and Advanced Payment Program. And there are all kinds of financial and fiscal cliffs that are associated with this coming to fruition. And at that time, we were talking about the necessity of Congress to do something to be able to assist hospitals, not only in the state of Iowa, but across the United States. And with us on our newsmaker line is Kevin Kincaid. He is the president and CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. Kevin, welcome to the Business News Hour. Thanks for cutting out some time on this. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, tell us, what's the update on this? I know when we talked with Gary and Brian, they were hopeful that Congress would do something to stem the tide.
So basically, when COVID-19 hit, and also keep in mind that I'm making comments from the perspective of a rural hospital. So what happened in the rural hospital community when COVID-19 cropped up is that we were essentially shut down financially. And what I mean by that is that in order to face what a complete unknown from a public health perspective, we began to go into shutting down all unnecessary outpatient procedures. We shut down elective surgeries. We started to preserve PPE, and the patients didn't come, thankfully, from a public health perspective in those early days, is that we didn't get that overrun that we were concerned about. But we were shut down economically. And our hospital in particular, we furloughed about 40% of our workforce. So very quickly, we essentially became a non-functioning hospital. You can't function with 40% of your staff.
Sure.
Gone. We really were in a serious situation as it related to the viability of our organization moving forward.
Kevin,
go ahead.
Sorry, Kevin. So let's make that clear to individuals who are listening. Not only did you have a reduction in staff, but you know, let's not kid anybody here. I mean, one of the things that keeps hospitals going is caring for people who have elective surgeries and things like that. I mean, those are things that generally are a good thing. I mean, people need a new hip or a new knee or whatever it happens to be. Those things are elective, and insurance pays on those things. And so those went away. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, what's even more important about, you know, the business, when you think about hospitals as a business, which is kind of an interesting topic, and I love to sit on the decks with my neighbors and talk about healthcare from a right perspective, and doesn't matter what my tax return looks like or my zip code, I should have access to high quality care. And then when I'm a consumer of care, I want my healthcare to operate like a business. I want good value. I want the lowest cost possible. So hospital as a business is very interesting, because what you said about us shutting down elective surgeries, that's essentially how rural hospitals fund everything else.
Sure.
Because much of what we do is done at a loss. And unlike, you know, I was talking to the plant manager at one of our manufacturing facilities here in town, and they were telling me, you know, when they have a product line that they would never produce a product that loses money, even if it didn't make enough, they would stop doing it. Well, we can't not do emergency room care. We can't not have clinics. And so when we were shut down from an elective surgery perspective, that's what funds everything else. And then you add kind of the insult to that of, we just didn't have a lot of sick people. People were staying home even though they didn't feel well. We came to an economic stop.
And then enter something called MAP. Would that be
accurate? Yes. Yes. And so MAP, this accelerated payment plan. So just real quickly, what that is first off, we love to, you know, hospital administrators, we love to complain about the government. They're either doing the wrong thing or not enough of this and too much of that. I mean, it's just what we do because it's a very complicated business. But, you know, when our backs were against the wall, I'm going to say both Democrats and Republicans stepped up and threw us a lifeline. And one of the very first ones that we've seen was MAP. And so this was something quick and dirty that they could do. And essentially it would, it's the exact same equivalent of if you would have lost your job and you took an advance on a credit card. That's exactly right. What MAP was, is that what we did is we took 6 months of advance payment of what we would have received over the next 6 months from Medicare. They gave us that as a cash lump sum for us to ride this out. So that was the thinking in the beginning, and it was crucial and important because it gave us at least a few weeks, a few months of certainty so we could get our staff back, get our feet underneath us, because as we know, later on, that's when COVID and about the time that we started to open up, began to show up in Iowa, and right. We needed to be ready to roll, and we needed those funds.
Well, one of the other things, that and the CARES Act that was passed by Congress were all really basically thought to be, at the time, stopgap measures, that everything would be hunky-dory and close to normal by the time we got 3 or 4 months down the road. But that's not exactly what's happened either.
Yeah, the biggest problem that we're facing with the accelerated payments is as a healthcare community for most hospitals, it would be the equivalent of you lost your job, you took that credit card advance, mm-hmm. but when you went back to work, they gave you a 30% pay cut,
right?
And you just can't service the debt. So that's where the big push with, because there was many, many hospitals that were going to be in serious trouble when it came time to pay that accelerated payment back.
And so exactly what Kevin Kincaid, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's the president and CEO of the Knoxville Hospitals and Clinics. So what you're saying, in essence, is, okay, here's money from the federal government. It's an advance on care that you're going to be delivering. But, hey, you got to pay that back. And now what do we do?
Yeah, it's so not only and again, I think the credit card advance is a great analogy for your listeners from the perspective of not only did the government want it back, they wanted it back quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't pay it back quickly in 120 days, then you were going to enter into a 10% loan. So when you have a rural healthcare system across our country, and Iowa is obviously a heavily rural state as it relate, especially with our healthcare system, we were already vulnerable before COVID. And so you pile that debt on top of, you know, because everybody just needed that lifeline and that certainty, and things have not returned to normal. So what we've seen today, in all likelihood, what I'm hoping for very soon, is that the continuing resolution that was talked about today and has been advancing in D.C. Addresses that payment issue to provide some relief for hospitals.
And is this the continuing resolution that was passed by the House recently?
Yes.
And
yes.
Now it goes to the Senate, correct?
Yes, and by all indications, before I talk to you, that it should have a smooth course through the Senate, and the president will sign it. Of course, we all know that things can happen, or something intolerable could get added to it and upset the whole thing. But essentially, we're going from having to pay it back from 120 days to 29 months. and it's phased in as it relates to how much you got to get that paid back. And then if you don't get the balance done in those 29 months, it becomes a 4% loan.
There you go.
But also, yeah, but what I want to say about, you know, from what hospitals and, you know, clearly we would have liked to have gotten, just like anybody else, it'd be great to get that credit card advancement and then have the credit card company say, you know, I know you're on tough times, so why don't you just keep that and not pay it back? Well, that's not how that works, because essentially this money came from the Medicare trust fund.
Right.
And so you're talking about across the, you know, across the country, you know, billions of dollars. And so what that did, if there was an outright forgiveness of that, which could have shored up rural hospitals for a long time, maybe 3 to 5 years could have really shored them up while we work on long-term fixes. But what that did was it moved the insolvency date forward on Medicare by several years. So the idea of not paying it back is, that's just not possible with that. Yeah, it's just not possible.
Yeah, can't do it. Kevin Kincaid, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about the MAP program. That would be the Medicare Accelerated and Advanced Payment Program that he is very, very clearly indicated how it works. It's kind of like if you get an advance on your credit card, for crying out loud, you got to pay the piper somewhere down the road, and that's exactly what is now facing. So the joint resolution that was passed by the House goes to the Senate. What can individuals who are concerned about this, what might they be able to do, Kevin?
Well, here's the big thing is what we're seeing is some action on this item that was clearly going to put many, many hospitals at risk across the country. And that's just unacceptable. And, you know, these are the things that you don't hear a lot about, where people kind of come together and basically say, yeah, that's correct, and we need to put something in place, which it looks like they did. But I think what people can do is begin to think about, we got a snapshot here through this COVID crisis of how our healthcare system works, how it's set up and how it works. And people seen the best of things and the worst of things. Mm-hmm. You know, the best of things, you've seen these doctors, nurses, technologists, and technicians putting themselves and their families at risk to take care of others. I mean, that was happening every day and still continues to happen every day. So you've seen the very best of people that's in, you know, that work in this field. And then what you see in the very worst of, I was just telling somebody the other day, is people were asking me, how in the world did you run out of masks? Huh. And it's like, well, because like your very lean manufacturing plant down the road, if you go through their inventory, they have stuff for just in time. And we've done the same thing just to be efficient. We've had, had to cut costs over the years. You know, over the last 10 to 15 years, we've been cutting costs and being as efficient as possible, because we needed to try to control the growth of healthcare expenditures. And there was no capacity for what could have happened. We are prepared for what likely will happen. And so COVID comes kind of out of the blue here at us, and we don't have enough masks. Right. We don't have enough surgical gowns. I was just telling somebody the other day that General Motors does not build cars to the number of what would it be possible for the country to buy. No, they build the number of cars that they think they'll be able to sell. Well, how many masks have I been buying? How many do I think I'm going to use? I wasn't thinking of it from how much would be, in a worst case scenario, how many would I have to have? I mean, so we're rethinking that as a whole healthcare industry. And I think the country and certainly our state needs to be more involved in discussions about what do you want out of your healthcare system, because, and your local hospital, because we can be run as some efficient business with just-in-time inventory, or we can be better prepared for the very worst that could happen. And those are two different economic models, as you know.
They truly are. His name is Kevin Kincaid, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about the Medicare Accelerated and Advanced Payment Program. that the House is taking care of. And we just heard those stipulations, 29 months versus 120 days, 4% rather than 10%, and giving hospitals, which, by the way, we haven't even talked about this side, Kevin, about how hospitals in rural America oftentimes are the largest employer in that region. Would that be accurate?
Oh, yeah. You can see that play out in community after community. We're just the cornerstones of the community. Not only do we have typically maybe the largest payroll, but we tend to have a workforce that puts most of the kids in the local school. Right. You tend to have people that work in hospitals that become involved in their community. That's where you see the Little League coaches, the Sunday school teachers, the people out volunteering are from the hospitals. And so they are literally a lifeline to living in a rural community. I personally am a rural guy. I love it. Wouldn't really want to do anything else. And I really do believe in the ideal that my parents, who are in their 70s, live out on a little acreage outside of Knoxville, Iowa, should have the same access to quality care as somebody that might live three blocks from the University of Iowa.
There you go.
I do understand that not every hospital can be everything, but I'm talking about those fundamental services of high quality, keep them healthy, and be ready in case they have an emergency. And that has been strained over the years, beyond measure.
Absolutely. And COVID-19, as you said, Kevin, has laid bare the issuance of some real systemic problems in the healthcare delivery system and how it's paid for. Excellent. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. This was a real quick get-together because, here it is, bang, bang, and you were on with us, and I so appreciate you taking the time to do this. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Once again, that's the voice of Kevin Kincaid, the president and CEO of the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. We've been talking about the Medicare Accelerated and Advanced Payment Program that impacts every hospital, especially rural hospitals in the United States. And yes, we will have links not only to the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, but also a page that talks about what MAP is. More to come on the Business News Hour. And remember, you can join us all the time on Twitter at IOB_NewsHour.